Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Menachos Peites. We begin right on top of the Omed Chatzi Lug Shemen Lotoida. Back to the Mishnah where we discussed the various measuring units meant for liquids, one of which was Chatzi Lug, the one that contained a half a lug. Now, what was the purpose? What was the function of this specific measuring cup? Mishnah tells us it's meant to measure up the half lug of oil, Chatzi Lug Shemen, for the breads of the Toida. Now, we're going to focus on the matzah portion of the Toida bread. So there were chametz breads, and then there were matzah breads, 30 matzah breads in total, comprised of three different types. Chalois, more the loaf type, rekikin, more the cracker type, and revucha, was more saturated with oil, was like a deep fried. So the half lug shemen was meant to accommodate those breads. And they were meant to be divided amongst the different types, as we're going to see soon exactly how that was done. Firstly, how do we know that it's a half a lug of oil? Tanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer, I'm going to show you the source. Matam Aleimar, Bashemen, Bashemen Shnei Pa'amim. Take a look at the pasuk. Some of you may have it in the margin. So it's a pasuk speaking about the breads of the Toida. Imal Toida Akrivenu, right? Chalois, Matzois, Belulois, Bashemen. So we have Bashemen once on the Chalois. Urukiki Matzois, again, Meshuchem Bashemen. Now why Bashemen twice? You can simply say Chalois, you know, Matzois, Belulois. Rukiki Matzois, Meshuchem. This is mixed with whatever. This is smeared with whatever. Then you say Bashemen, oil, which refers back to both. So why repeat the word Bashemen twice? Shnei. So we know that when the Torah expands, is marbe, uses expansive language twice, actually it's meant to have the opposite, restrictive effect. And that's what happens here. Ilu leinemar ela bashemen echad. If it only said it once, I would speculate that you need a standard fare, standard amount of oil, which is typical to a mincha, which is a lug, full lug. Lug, it needs a lug like any other mincha. One repeats it twice. Once and again, this is a ribuy, an expansive term, followed by another one of the same. So when we have a repetitive ribuy, ribuy achar ribuy, you know what happens? It shrinks it. Vein ribuy achar ribuy el lamayit. In which case we take it down from a lug to a half. Miato yakosav lechatzi lug. Now we're down to a half. Ask the Gemara, that's not a repetitive ribuy. Repetitive ribuy is when you have expansive language. Once and again, Torah sending a message, no, actually I want a minimum. But when it's plain bashemen, that's not extra. That's needed to tell you that you have oil, right? Why is that a ribuy followed? We have one extra, but it's not a ribuy followed by a ribuy, right? Ask the Gemara. Ribuy acha ribuy ribuy? Question mark. Is that a double ribuy? Chad ribuy? If anything, it's just one ribuy. The extra of a shaman is extra. Oh, fine, but that's not a repetitive ribuy. Ella, rather, we have to tweak it like this. Ilu loy nemar b'shemen kol ikar. You know what? Perhaps the Torah could have avoided any mention of b'shemen. Skip the word b'shemen, I would figure it out. Of course, a mincha, breads of the Toida are a form of mincha, right? Of course it needs oil, like any other mincha. Oh, you see, Omer, I would assume on my own, it's like any other mincha, which needs a lug of oil. Why even mention b'shemen? Now that it said b'shemen, and b'shemen again, now you have a double ribuy, because they're both really not necessary. Have a ribuy achar ribuy, so you have a repetitive ribuy, and now you have your conclusion. Vein ribuy achar ribuy elamayit, you have a miut, which diminishes it down to elamit yakos l'chatzi lug, so it's down from a lug to a half a lug. Okay, so now that we have that clear, how do we distribute the half lug amongst the three types of matzahs? Which, of course, had 10 matzahs in each type, right? Total of 30. Yochel yihil chatzi lug zeh. So perhaps you take this half log and you split it, divide it equally. One third per type. Meschalak l'shleshes minin. Split it amongst the three types. L'chalois, l'rukikin, l'rvicha. Each one getting a quarter of this amount. Shu'aymer, no. But when the pasuk comes back and tells us that the Revucha, it's actually in that pasuk as well, at the end of that pasuk, it says Vesoilus Morbechas, that's Revucha, Chalos Beluos, again, Bashamen. So when the Torah repeats the word Bashamen Berevicha, She'en Tamaloymar, which seems unnecessary. Because we already know that Revicha is saturated with oil. We know it from a different place, from the Chavitin, the daily Kohen Gadol's Mincha, which has that configuration. So why bother mentioning Bashemen again? Evidently, the Torah is telling us, add an extra measure of oil to the Revicha. The Revicha is meant to have proportionally more oil than the rest of his counterparts. How do you work this out? Maybe, in fact, it has double as much as the rest. Maybe chatzi luk shemen, so you bring in the half a log, v'choy tseyu, and divide it down the middle. So you took the half a log, divide it into two quarters. Chatzi l'chal, half of this chatzi luk, meaning a quarter, goes to the chalis, ulurikikin, to those matzis, v'chatzi, the other half of the chatzi luk, meaning the quarter log, remaining, l'rubicha goes to the rubicha, the rubicha now has twice as much as his counterparts. So you start with the half a log, divide into two. One part goes to the Chalas and Rekikin, the other part to Revich. That's Rabbi Akiva's Makar. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So he turned to Rabbi Akiva and he called him, Akiva, I disagree with your sourcings. I agree with the Halacha, but not with your sourcings. Imata Mar Bekol Hayom Kulay, B'Hashem and B'Hashem, even if you come along and you show me all the extra words, B'Hashem, Eini Shimalacha, that's not going to be acceptable to me. That's not the source. Ella. Rather, there's a most simple source. It's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. It's been passed down by tradition, and it's not limited to just this point. There's a list of items that are on that halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Ella rather chatzi log shem l'toida, the requirement of a half a log for the toida. Urvi shem l'nazir, the requirement to have a quarter of log shem for the nazir's bread. And a third item as well, which relates to tumah v'tahara. V'achad asar yoyim, the 11 days, shebein, that stretch between nida and nida. So if an isha sees da, next 7 days she's a nida, then next 11 days is the interval that are called yimei ziva, that take her to the next cycle. So between this nida and the next nida, you have 11 days. These were all passed down, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and that is the source. Beluga yimei. Mishnah continues. So the lug measuring unit was used for the regular menaches, which needed a sarain of flour and a lug of oil. That's standard fare. What happens if you expand, you enhance your mincha, you add more flour? Instead of one isarin, you bring 10. You can do that. You can donate a large, expanded mincha. But what about the amount of oil? Do you multiply it accordingly? You say it's 1-to-1, isarin of flour to a lug of oil, 10 isarin, 10 lug, or do you keep it at one lug of oil? Achlag is in the Mishnah, Chum say it's 1-to-1. Multiply the flour, you multiply the oil. Rogleza says it always stays with one lug of oil. What is their, you know, respective sources? It's based on the pasuk that we find by the Metzora. Now a Metzora, a wealthy Metzora, brings three karbanis. But a Metzora who's an ani who can't afford, only brings one animal karban, together with the mincha, which comes along with it. And the Mishnah speaks about, let's just see it inside, he brings like this, he brings Lakach keves echad asham betnufa, means an asham. V'isarain soiles echad, with one isarain of soiles, of flour. Bal basham mixed with oil. Lemincha v'loig shaman. How much oil? A log. Okay, tenor rabban. So actually, this pasuk will provide both opinions, both positions, with their respective sources. Tenor rabban. Metzora ani ksiv. So we have the pasuk by the Metzora as an ani. Isarin balo, the lug, we learn from here. How much oil per isarin? It's always a standard formula, 1-to-1. Lug limit al isarin, every isarin, shaton, lug, every isarin is a lug. One isarin, one lug. 10 isarin is 10 lug. Divrei Chacham. So it's based on this pasuk, which makes that parallel. One isarin, one lug. From Nechemia, from Elazar, they disagree. If you bring a huge, humongous 60 isarin mincha, you keep it at one lug of oil. The oil remains unaffected. Why? Based on this very same pasuk. Shenemar, look at the last part of the pasuk. La mincha v'luk shamen. Every mincha, irrespective of its size, requires one luk of oil. Okay. So basically, both shitas brought their raya from the same pasuk. Chachamim come from the earlier part of the pasuk. Yisarn seilas echad, one yisarn per luk. And Rabbi Lazar came from the conclusion of the pasuk la mincha. Every mincha, despite its irrespective of its volume, requires the same luk of oil. Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, hai yisarn bolol. What did they do with the first part of the pasuk, where it points to one isarain per luk awlagufi? That's needed for its own sake, simply to teach us that the fellow brings the mincha. The ka'amar achmana pasuk is simply instructing him laisi chad isarain. You should bring an isarain of flour, bring a mincha. V'idach, the other shita says no, that wouldn't be necessary to talk about lagufi laisra the tzarach. It's not needed for its own sake. Why? Because it's plain logic that he needs to bring a mincha. Why not? Once the Torah teaches that a wealthy mitzera who brings gimel three karbanis, brings gimel yisroin, brings three yisroin of mincha, one per karban. So, plain simple math. Over here that it's just one animal, he brings one yisroin. There's no need to discuss it. Hacha dachad karban. Now that he's bringing only one, chad yisroin, brings one yisroin. So, you don't need it for its own sake. Rather, it's coming to teach us a general formula. The other shita says, no, Israel. Yeah, the Torah does have to point out and instruct him to bring a mincha. So it's needed for its own sake, rather than for a general formula. Once the Torah has compassion on him and downgrades his obligations, and allows him to bring the short form, offering, dalos, which is a term to describe the, shorter, smaller offering that a poor man brings. And therefore, perhaps we give him a discount and we discount the whole mincha. Maybe he skips the whole mincha. That's why the Torah has to point out that he brings it. The other shita says, no, that's unnecessary. Legamrali ashkan, whatever, fine. That a fellow should bring a carbon without mechas and sachem. Sure, we downgrade it. We give him a discount. Instead of three carbonis, it's one. But to allow him a carbon without a mincha, that's never. Right? So, there's no need to discuss it. Why does the Torah mention it? To teach you a formula. One isarin per one look. Okay, so we addressed what Rabbi Lezer does with the Chachamim's diuk. Now let's go the other way. Chachamim who say that it's one luk per isarain. What do they do with the ending of the pasuk lemincha v'luk shamen, which sounds like a luk is standard for any mincha? My avdele, that's coming to teach us a different halacha. Lemisnad mincha, a person donates a mincha without specifying how much flour he's going to bring, he must bring at least an isarain. That's, minimum. Shlo yivchos midavar, he can't go less than davar, than the amount, which is isarain, hatan lug, which means a lug. But mind you, how much is that? Isarain. So we never find that a lug should accompany flour less than isarain. So this teaches us, at the least, at the minimum, you have to donate an isarain. Okay, that's what it's for. V'idach, now the other shita, how does he know this halacha? Because he already used this pasuk for his. We can learn both things from there. From the same expression, l'mincha v'luk shem, we can learn two things. First of all, the Rabbanan's halacha, that at a minimum we have to donate a sarin, which requires a lug. And next thing is, that in the event that he actually goes big and generous and donates 10 isarin, it comes along with 10 lug. Okay, so conclusion, a standard isarin and a minimum is a standard mincha and a minimum is a isarin, which means a lug of oil. What if he expands it to 10 isarin? According to Rabbanan, 10 lug of oil. According to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, it stays with a lug irrespective of size. Okay, the Mishnah spoke about the other measuring units. We have the half a hin, which is six lug. We have the third hin, which is 4 lug. Quarter hin, which is 3 lug. Each one had a very specific purpose. Shisha, the sixth one, was lapar, to measure up the material, the oil, and the wine that accompanies a cow korban. Arba, the one with 4 lug, was la'ayah, for the ram. Shleisha, the 3 one, was lekeves, for the sheep. Menola, how do we know these amounts? Half a hin is for the par, and we know that a hin is 12 lug, right? And the pasuk continues, a third a hin is for the isle, a quarter for the kevis, and then we know the numbers. Hin, the term hin, the measuring of the measurement hin is trei salugi haben, comprised of 12 lug. The chsev, as we find by the shemen amishcha, shemen zayis hin, and use a hin of shemen zayis, and how much lug was it? Interestingly, we're going to derive from a gematria, which is something unusual. Uksiv in the pasuk there refers to the Shemen HaMishchas, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, he has Zeh. So what is the numerical value of Zeh? 12, right? 7 and 5. Zeh, Lil Dereseichem, the word Zeh, but gematria, Teresa Havhavion is 12. A hin is comprised of 12 lug. And that leads us to these numbers. And the Mishnah continues, concludes that for the Menorah, actually they needed 3.5 lug, a half lug per cup times 7. Shlosha mechzel ner chatzil lug l'chol ner. No, really, how do we know that we need this much? How do we get to this amount? The answer is, the Chachamim established that in order to burn throughout the night, you need this amount, right? On the long nights of, long summer, winter nights, you need this much. And in the winter, actually, the Mepharshim say they used to make thicker wicks so that the oil is consumed quicker. Tana Rabban, we have a brayse in Erevat Boker, in describing the kindling of the menorah from evening till morning. We learn, Tana Midasa, ensure that there's an adequate supply of oil in there. Shteide lekes v'leches Erevat Boker. It lasts. It should last from evening till morning. Davarach, another pshat in this pasuk, that only the menorah was sort of functioning during that time. There's no other avoda that you do after you kindle the menorah. There's no service in the Mesa Middle Shekshir which is able to be done during that time from evening till morning. Only the menorah. Okay, so back to our point. Once we know that it burns throughout the night, you need that much oil. Beshiru Chacham Chatzilug Mirut Abad Safra. The Chachamim estimated, assessed, half a lug is what you need to keep it going from Urta from evening till the morning. Ikadami. Now, how did they come to that conclusion? There must have been some sort of trial and error stage. So some say they started with a bigger amount, and then they cut away until they got to the half lug, which was deemed sufficient. Some say they started with a small amount, and then the next night they added more until they got to the desired amount. They started with a larger amount and then shrunk it. Some say it was the other way. They evaluated it based on small to big. The one that says they started from a smaller amount, then they added. You know why? Torah is concerned about unnecessary spending of Mammon Yisrael. So better to start off with small, because as Rashi says, if you're going to have extra, you're going to have to spill it out and you can't use it again, as we learned yesterday. So they experimented with a lesser amount, then they progressively added until they got to the magic number. Umanda Omar Malamat Mi Malamata Shiru, whereas the other sheet that says no. You're coming across as being frugal. Einanius, this frugality, which is more fitting for unaffordability, doesn't have its place in the Beis HaMikdash, which is a makam of bracha, a makam of shiras. Hence, the other system worked better. So we spoke about half lug oil for the Toida, quarter for the Nazir. We spoke about a regular mincha needing an isurin and a lug. We spoke about the minchas nesachim that accompanies a par, an ayil, and a keves. So we bring a carbon, bring along minchas nesachim, which is comprised of three elements. We have the main thing, which is the mincha itself, which is a mix of flour and oil. Then we have the wine that comes along, which is actually not put on the mizbeach itself. It's not burnt. It's poured into the funnels into the you know, on the side of the top of the Mizbeach. Now, interestingly, you have the par in the aisle, which run the same recipe, the same proportion of flour and oil, because a par has three isarin of soilus of flour mixed with six lug, a half a hin of oil. So it's one flour for every two oil. Right? One isarin per two lug. So it's one per two. Aya likewise has the same ratio, but a third less. So it's two isarin mixed with four lug of oil, but it's the same ratio. It's one per two. Whereas the keves has its own unique recipe. The keves had one isarin of flour mixed with three lug of oil. So it's 3 to 1. Says the Mishnah, can you mix them up? Only if it's the same recipe. Ma'arvin nischei parim b'nischei elim. You can mix together the mincha of the parim with the elim because ultimately it's the same ratio. There's no concern of uneven distribution. Likewise, you can mix nischei kvasim b'nischei kvasim because they too have the same ratio. Shiyach b'shal tzibur, you can mix your own mincha with the mincha belonging to the tzibur. Shal hayim waran amid beis. Shal yam b'shal emes, you can mix the mincha coming with today's carbon together with the mincha with, which is addressing yesterday's carbon. No issue. Avol in ma'arvin nischei kvasim b'nischei parim be'elim. But you can't mix something which is in a different formula. Right? You can't mix the keves, which has its own proportion, together with the parim be'elim, because then you're going to have an uneven distribution of the oil, and it's not going to work. Now, v'im balalon. But let's say he mixed them separately. Okay, so he took the par one, mixed it up nicely, and the keves nicely. Elu b'fnei atzmon, elu b'fnei atzmon. These on their own, these on their own, so that they've been sort of established and processed separately. And then they fell into the same pot, they got mixed up, in the but then it's shared because they've already achieved their distinctness, their uniqueness. They were already established as is, and now mixing up doesn't harm it. Possible. If it got mixed together before he individually separately mixed them, then it's a problem. Then it's possible. One more halacha in the Mishnah. Keves abam no'aymer. You meant to know that the mincha so'aymer, which comes once a year on Pesach, which has a keves that accompanies it, as the pasuk instructs, this keves was unique in a sense that it had an interesting mincha. Avav b'shem mincha so'ekfilos. Although the flour was doubled, instead of one isarin, which is standard for the keves, it had two, but it did not affect the oil quantity. The liquids that came along were not doubled. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of Mishnah. V'raminu, we have a kasha on that. Here we say you can mix together as long as it's the same proportion. Iktirai, you should be makter it. So the chalev, whatever, each carbon is separate and unique and distinct. You don't mix together. You don't say, okay, kain, here is a batch of 10 carbonates. Take. No, sheloi ya'arev chalav m'chalav. You can't mix fats of this carbon with the other carbon. And here we allow mixing of minchas? What happened to their individuality? Amar b'yechanan, im nis arva ka'amah. Of course we don't allow it, l'chat chila. They're meant to maintain their individuality. If it happened, the Mishnah's talking about after the fact. Iyachi, if that's how you learn the Mishnah, let's continue. Ve'ein ma'arvin nischei kvasim, b'vastei parim ve'elim. So you don't mix the different types, right? Va'filu nis arva namiloy. So you're learning the Mishnah means even after the fact. Even after it happened, it doesn't work, right? Okay. V'amiltani seifa, let's proceed to the next part of the Mishnah. Badalon elu b'fnei atzman. V'elu b'fnei atzman. Suppose he processed each one separately, and then they got mixed together, and that's okay. So you see that when the Mishnah wants to describe something that already happened after the fact, it uses past language, past tense. V'nis arvo. Michal, apparently the ratio that the initiation of the Mishnah, which tells you me'arvin, that's not after the fact. That is allowing you to do it initially. Me'arvin means lechatchila ka'amar. You're telling me that. Amar abay yachi ka'amar. The Mishnah means like this. Me'arvin yeina imnis arv sotan misham. You're right. The mincha itself, the soilus, the shemen, that's not meant to be mixed together. Viktiro, each one is meant to be separate, unique, separate offering. But the oil, the wine is different. Meaning, the wine is not actually burnt on the mizbeach; it's poured on the sun. So there it goes like this. If it so happens, when the Mishnah says you can mix, it's referring to the wine. If it so happened that the minchas got mixed up and they are of the same proportion, so that it doesn't disqualify them. So now, once they're mixed up, you can mix the wine as well. That's what the Mishnah means. So you're right, the Mishnah allows you to do it, but to do what? Not to mix the actual mincha. Mincha is not meant to be kept separate, but if it happens, it already mixed, so you can mix the wine too. Says the Gemara, v'yeinan l'chadchil aloy, but otherwise you can't just mix the wines together, why not? By the time we have a brisa, which seems to be very unconcerned about mixing wines. But when do we say keep them separate? Besides the shemen, the actual mincha, the flour, the oil, but the wine, ma'arin, be my guest, feel free, you can mix together the various wines. El Rabbayin. So Rabbi, let me explain to you further what's going on. Here we go. When the brisa says you can mix the wines l'chatchila, it means like this. The price is speaking that it's already after the fact, after burning of the soil of Hashem. You already put on the mizbech, it's over. The mincha is not here anymore. So now, you can mix the wines together. As we're going to see in a minute, the reason not to mix the wines is because it can lead you to mix the rest of the mincha together. But mixing the wines per se is not an issue. So once the mincha is out of the way, it's already burned, so there's no issue mixing the wines. That's what the brisa meant. But let's say it's still pre-haktara and the minchas are still here. So now it depends. It's not a straight answer, it depends. Even this Arab Sultan is Shamnon, and that takes us back to our Mishnah. Mishnah begins that if in fact the minchas got mixed together, and we're speaking that they're the same type, Parim and Elim or Kvasim and Kvasim, right? So it's still kosher. So now, you can mix the wines as well. There's no reason not to. But otherwise, if the minchas are still separate, or also another point, let's say, yeah, okay, if the minchas are still separate, fine. Ein ma'arvin, you can't mix the wines, because it can lead, dilma, asi, la rube, soiles, v'shem el chatchil. Because as we established earlier, you're not meant to really mix the minchas together. Each one is meant to maintain its distinctness, its uniqueness. It's own identity, v'yiktiroi, right? So while they're still here and separate, don't mix the wines together either, because you can come to confuse things and mix the minchas together. But once the minchas are mixed together and they're the same recipe, so there's no issue, so you can mix the wines too. And certainly once they're on the mizbeach and they're already hooked there, then it's out of the way, of course you can mix the wines. So that's a bayis, you know, sort of conclusion here. Again, ideally, chalavim, karbanes, minchas, keep them separate, keep them distinct, offer them separately. Make tira, it's the pasuk, right? On the other hand, wines, really, is no issue mixing together, because they're not really actual karbanes on mizbeach. But don't do it for concern that it might lead you to do the mincha as well. But if it's after the fact, the minchas are already burnt on the mizbeach, so you can mix the wines together. Likewise, if the minchas are mixed together and standing right here, and they're kosher because they're the same recipe, same, you know, ratio, then why not mix the wines together? But otherwise, keep things separate. The Mishnah concluded with a halacha regarding the interesting carbon that comes together with the oima, which has a double dose of a flour, but not of the rest. Kevas abam noimer, Tana rabban, minchaser shnei yisroinim. Mincha is two isar, and limit we learn from Yal Keves, about Noemer, the Keves that comes is Noemer, that's a double mincha, Shemchasa Kfula. What about the oil and wine? Is that double as well? Yachal, perhaps I would say, Kashem, Shemchasa Kfula, just like you double the mincha, Kachyenik Kafal, the wine as well. Should be double Tamaloimar, Viniskoy Yain, Revisahin. Says the Pasuk. No. That you only bring along a Revisahin, which is standard, which is 3 lug of wine for this entire package. Okay, so that's pretty clear. Wine is standard. What about the oil? Yachol lo yeyin a kafel, 4. For sure, I don't double the wine. Sheina nichalim nuchasim, because after all, it's not really part and parcel. It's not an integral part of the pack. It's not mixed together with the flour, so it keeps its own, you know, standard quantity. Perhaps you should double the oil, because after all, that's meant to be mixed with a flour, double flour, needs double oil. We learn from Viniskoy, kol nesachav, all the liquids, loy, Yehu al-Ravias, stays with the same Ravias as per standard. My Talmud, how do you see from Veniska that even the oil is covered by that? Amar Belezer, Ksiv Veniska. In the spelling, it's with a hey, Veniska, her. So it's Nekeva referring to the Mincha. The Karin reread it Veniska. So we can expound on both variations, the way it's spelled and the way it's read. Ketzad, how do you learn this? Niska the Mincha, Kneska the Yain. We compare the liquid that is embedded in the Mincha itself to the wine that's poured alongside. My Yain, just like we already established, the wine remained at a Revius and was not expanded. Afshem and Amravius, same thing with the Shem, and stays with the same old Revius. So the flour is doubled, but not the wine and the oil. Amravichna. Here's an interesting halacha. Asham Metzora. You know, typically, an Asham does not have Minchas Nesachim. It's the way it is. Except if it's an Asham Metzora that a Metzora brings, that needs Nesachim. Okay, so if it's brought properly, yeah, it needs Nesachim. But let's say Sheshachtai Shlo Geshmai. He did the Shechita with something else in mind. So now what happens? We learn back in Zvachim, you do Shlo Geshmai. He's doing the Asham thinking that it's an oil. The carbon's still kosher and can be processed, but the owner, it doesn't count for the sake of the owner. He has to bring another one to fulfill his obligation. Here's a question. Should we add Nesachim as per the standard Asham Metzora procedure? Or shall we say, since it's not really being counted in Asham Metzora, the owner has to bring another one, perhaps it doesn't need Nesachim, like any other Asham, which comes without Nesachim. Interesting question. Torah Nesachim, he says it does. It does. Why? Because if you're going to insist that there's no Nesachim, you'll disqualify the carbon. Because once this carbon has been pegged as a carbon that needs Nesachim, it's on that track and you have to complete that procedure. Maskev l'Rav Nashi Bar Gati. He has a question. So why is Rabbi Yochanan only mentioning one example? I have another one that would run the same dilemma. If that's the case, keves abam na'im. Imagine the keves that comes with the Eimer, which comes with this unique configuration, double Yisorain, with, you know, right? Sheshachta, what happened if you did the Shechita Shlo Geshmoi, which obligates the community to bring another one, but the carbon is still kosher and is processed. So how are you going to process it? What's the form of that mincha? Tei mincha sekful, you should require double mincha, like a regular keves that comes with the Eimer. Why? For the same reason. Shimei to Eimer came, because if you're going to deprive the carbon of this double mincha paslasa, you'll disqualify, because once it required it, you have to complete the process. Another example, v'taman shel shachar, the taman of the morning, which needs to come along with two blocks of wood held by one kayin. So once again, sheshachta l'shmai, let's say there's shlo l'shmai, in which case you have to replace it with another one, but once you have that requirement, you have to continue on that same track. You have to have a kayin deliver the two blocks, otherwise the carbon should be apostle. Once it was committed to this process, you can't board it. She'im i'ato emekein, because if you're going to insist not so, paslasa, you'll disqualify it. Another example, v'tamash ben arbaim, the afternoon tamid, which needs two blocks of wood delivered by two kayanim. She'shachta shlo geshma yeton sh'ne'egzer. She needs two blocks of wood b'shne'ekan delivered by two kayanim, because otherwise, you'll disqualify the karm. She'im i'ato emekein, paslasa. And echanami, you're right. Elon Abai explains, Chadim and Aynokot. Rabbi Yechon did not mean to negate these other examples. He just picked one example, Asham Metzora, but really, the same concept, the same formula would apply to all those other examples. Once the carbon, whether it's the, Keves HaOim or the Tam, had been sort of committed to this distinct procedure, you have to continue and then complete it till the very end. Rabbi Abba Amar says, no, I disagree. There's a reason why Rabbi Yochanan chose Asham Metzora and nothing else. He says like this, Rabbi Amar, Mishlam Hanach Oilas Nino. Look, take a look at the other examples you cited. They're all carbon oilas. Right? So, Iloi Chazul Oilas Chayla. We continue on Tzadikam Nal. Iloi Chazul Oilas Chayla. So let's say it's not suitable for an obligatory oila because of a Shlag Shema, it doesn't count. You have to, redo it. But it can still be salvaged as a donated oila. An oila can come as a donation too. So it sort of veers into the Eilas Nadava world. It's sort of relabeled, recategorized. Carbon, you bring it as an Eilas Nadava, which Eilas Nadava does not need the blocks of wood and all that. So just process it like a regular Eilas Nadava. L'hacha, but here by the Asham Metzer L'hacha, there's only one option. You can't donate an Asham. And if you're going to process it, inevitably you're going to have to follow the Asham Metzerah track, which needs the nesachim. You can't get away without it. Elacha ilay mukmasle. Ilay mukmasle, elacha ilay mukmasle b'milse, if you're not going to keep it in its track. Asham nadav mi ika. Do we have an asham nadav? We can't donate an asham. So you have to maintain its asham etzera, you know, labeling, which needs nesachim. Tanik, we have a price which supports Rabbi Yechanan's chidush. Asham etzera, right? Sheshachte, which was done shalei lishmoi, although the owner has to bring another one to compensate for the oy shaloi nita midome al gabibayinus, or something else happened, the blood was not placed on the thumbs of the mitzvah. In any case, he didn't follow through properly, you have to bring another one. Harizu oydel gabi mizbeach, we still proceed, take the mizbeach, it's still kosher, and therefore v'ton nesachem, make sure you have nesachem with it. Despite the fact you have to bring another one, v'tzorech osham ach, you have to bring another one, latira, to permit the mitzvah to come back home, etc., but the carbon has to be processed fully and completely the way it was originally committed to, the process that was committed to, so that requires Nesachim to come along as well. Okay, so we discussed the various types of Mechas Nesachim, various proportions, recipes, Parim, Elam, and Kvasim. We discussed the configuration of the Minchas Nesachim of the Kevas with the Eimer. We had a discussion regarding mixing wines and menaches, one year, one not, and Rabbi Yechanan's chiddush regarding the nesachim that come along with a asham etzera, which was done shalei lishmoi, and there was a shaila whether this idea applies to keves with the eimer, to the talmid shel shachem and arbaim. According to some, we have to just keep them on their track and bring along the wood, etc. According to Rabbi Abba, it's unnecessary unless it's the Asham, which cannot come as an adava, and since it's considered the Asham Etzerim, it requires Nesach. Okay, all the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.